Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos weekly learning. So we have two sponsors this evening. I will give them in the order that I received the information. The first sponsor is Miriam Nussbaum, Lezecho Nishmas, her father, Lavasham, Moshe ben Hachover, Yecheskel Halevi, Zichrona Livracha. Yahrzeit is this Shabbos, 17 Cheshvan. He was born and raised in Germany and arrived to America as a 22-year-old refugee. He got married to her mother in 1945 and they had three children, dedicated members of the Breuers community in Washington Heights. And Miriam Nussbaum wrote, "My father was a pasha to yid, a gentle person and a true Avet Hashem. He excelled in the mitzvah of Kibbur Ava'im. He would visit his parents every single evening. He was an exemplary and quiet Osek B'tzarchei Tzibur. He made sure to arrive early to Shul. He found joy in helping raise funds for his children's yeshiva and other worthy causes. His family was always of paramount importance." And she wrote, "Daddy was a friendly person, and 49 years after his patira, people still speak fondly of him. Yehi zecho baruch, may the neshama of Moshe ben Achov Yecheskel Levi merit an aliyah in the schus of the Torah we will share this evening." Second sponsor is our friend Ruti Berkowitz. Lezecho nishmas, her mother, Yehudas Bas David, whose yahrzeit is Chof Aleph Cheshvan next week. And Ruti said her mother was 8 years old when the Germans invaded Budapest. She was separated from her mother during an action that they called it. At that time, the Nazis were taking young women out of the streets to work in the factories. My mother, who was 8 years old, ran home crying hysterically. Her grandfather told her to say Kapitel of Tehillim, which she kept repeating all day long, Kuf Chof Aleph. By some miracle, her mother returned home. She believed strongly in the power of Tehillim for as long as I can remember, Ruti said. Her mother said Tehillim Shoyom every single day till she was admitted to the hospital and ultimately Niftaras. Yahrzeit is Chof Aleph Cheshvan, Le'ilui Nishmas Yehudas Bas David. And also Ruti asked that the Zchus of the learning should be Refuah Shalema for Chedva Rivka Bas Edna Besoch She'or Cholei Yisrael. So we thank both Miriam and Ruti for their generous sponsorships. And Be'ezrat Hashem, I look forward to a meaningful shiur with you this evening. So let us get started. I'm actually going to begin, before I even go to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, with an insight from Rabbi Pesach Kron in Yamim No Rhyme with the Maggid. And I read it when I went through the Sefer during Tishrei, and I was very taken with this insight. I have never shared it yet, and I think that is an appropriate time to be sharing it with you tonight. Okay? He tells over the following story, Yamim No Rhyme with the Maggid. Prior to Agudas Yisrael of America hiring its full-time attorney in the early 1980s, the executive president of the Aguda, Rabbi Moshe Scher, was deeply involved in legal matters. In 1973, the Supreme Court struck down four basic types of assistance to religious schools. Parents sending children to parochial schools could not receive tuition grants or tuition tax credits. This affected all parents whose children went to Jewish schools. Rabbi Scher strenuously fought the ruling as it made through the lower courts. The Supreme Court was the final word. He had not prevailed and he was deeply disappointed. Soon after the blow, Rabbi Scher received a letter from Rav Yitzchak Huttner, Zatzal the Pachad Yitzchak, Rosh Hashiva Vishivas Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin. It was a letter that Rabbi Moshe Scher treasured for the rest of his life. In his eloquent poetic Hebrew, Rav Huttner, writing from Yerushalayim, wrote the following words. The letter, says Rabbi Pesach Kron, is a classic. "To my beloved and esteemed friend, from the moment I heard of the court's negative ruling, your image has remained constantly before me. Even from the distance, I feel the pounding of your heart, which reverberates in my spine. I feel impelled to write you words of encouragement. I cannot rest until I share these words with you," said Rav Huttner. "Remember of Yisrael Salanter's three rules of Klal Yisrael." I'm going to say it in the Yiddish how he writes it, and then I'll translate it. Nisht beis verin, nisht farmitert verin, nisht velin osfirin. Don't become angry. If anyone understands Yiddish, they do an okay job, sort of. Don't become angry. Don't become tired. And don't become obsessed with prevailing. So this is what Yisrael Salanter wrote for working with Tzar Chitzibur, working on behalf of the Klal, which was Yitzchak Huttner gave his chizik to Rav Moshe Scher. But I was thinking that applies to a parent as well. Don't become angry. Don't become tired. and don't become obsessed with prevailing. It's very, very important advice. Rav Hertner continued that we pray to Hashem, we should be protected in the merit of the Akedah. Rav Yitzchak wrote a letter, we should be protected in the merit of the Akedah. Yet Avram Avinu did not actually sacrifice Yitzchak on the Akedah. So the reason, I haven't shared this yet, and obviously the reason I think it's appropriate time to share it is because this week's Parshas Vayera on the Akedah Yitzchak. Avram did not actually sacrifice Yitzchak on the Akedah. Nonetheless, the fact that the sacrifice was not actually done does not detract one iota from the merit that he amassed for him and his descendants. We still talk about Akedah Yitzchak Koyam Barachamim Tizkor, even though the Akedah was not completely done because Yitzchak was not ultimately sacrificed. And Rav Huttner said, a mensch darf tun, nicht oftun. Man is commanded to act, not to accomplish. The rest is up to Hashem. Rav Asher was inspired and guided by these words for his efforts. It was a life lesson. So what was the Pachad Yitzchak telling Rav Moshe Sher? You put in your effort, you did whatever you could. The ultimate result is up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Avram Avinu put in his effort. He did what he was supposed to do. Lamaisa didn't happen. That doesn't detract from the zechuyot that are amassed from that event because he put in the maximum effort. And then the real part of the insight that I loved is the next vignette, actually, which Rabbi Pesach Kron adds. And I thought that this was just tremendous. Interestingly, writes Rabbi Kron, my friend, Dr. Elliot Grossman, pointed out in Parshas Vayera, that's this week's Parsha, Avram Avinu did not bring to total fruition three of the primary mitzvos he is known for. And yet, he is an everlasting mentor to us in these areas. So the things that we remember him for are things that were not actually done in the fullest sense. The meal he prepared for the three guests in Perek Ches, as the Parsha opens, is a prime example of Hachnasas Archim. Yet the guests did not actually eat because they were angels. They didn't consume the meal. It only seemed like they ate. Rabbi Kron says, look up Rashi to Bereishis 18:8. So he served them, when we talk about his Hachnasas Archim and preparing food, Yukachna Ma'amayim Ve'achach Pas Lechem Ve'alhabach or Ratz Avram, he's going to serve them Shalish Lashonis Bechardal, but Lamaisa, they didn't eat anything. And yet he gets chus as if he served them the most sumptuous meal. Avram is the paragon of Achnasos Archim, but it didn't actually come to fruition. Second, in this week's parasha, Avram prayed that Sodom should be saved, but Sodom was not saved. They did not have enough righteous citizens to merit salvation. Yet we learn the halacha of tefillah, and a makom kavua called kovei makom l'tfila, so loke Avram be'ezro from 1927, vayashkim Avram v'okra al makom asher aman sham elo espanei Hashem. We learn about makom kavua and kolach l'tfila from Avram, but on the surface at least, it seems his tfilas weren't even answered. So he served a whole meal to the guests and they didn't eat. Yeah, we remember him for his amazing achnasas archim. He davened, so dom and amor and destroyed. We remember him and we learn halachas tfila from Avram Avinu. And thirdly, Avram brought the ayal achar nechas besvach. He brought a ram as an offering instead of his son. Yet he is credited with the offering as if he fulfilled Akedas Yitzchak. We don't say Akedas ayal barachamim tizkor. We say Akedas Yitzchak. The afaroshal Yitzchak is always laying before our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And I thought that this was just a tremendous and very unique way of looking at the life and the nisyonos and the actions of Avram Avinu. The three main things in Parshas Vayera that we give him credit for, he didn't actually bring them to fruition. He made food for the guests, but they were malachim, so they only looked like they ate, but they didn't eat. He davened for Sodom and Amor, but it seems his tefillos were not answered. Sodom and Amor were destroyed. He brought his son as an Akedah, but ultimately he didn't shecht his son. And yet he gets credit for all three and teaches us about all three as if he entirely fulfilled and committed them. And we learn from here such an important lesson. Rav Hertner concludes Rabbi Kron, consoled Rabbi Sharon. I'm going to relate this to a Mishnah momentarily. I'm just going to finish Rabbi Pesach Kron's words and then go to the Mishnah. Rav Hertner consoled Rabbi Sharon with the words of Rabbi Yisrael Solander. Nisht beis varin, nisht farmitert varin, un nisht valin osfir. And don't become angry, don't become tired. It's for our parents also, maybe not for you. Don't become angry, don't become tired, and don't become obsessed with prevailing. It is the effort and the commitment to do Ratzon Hashem that Hashem seeks from the effort you put in. I thought it was just really profound. Avram put in so much effort to feed his guests, but they did eat. He put in so much effort, all his kishkas into his tefillos, but they didn't seem to be answered. He put in all his effort to do that Kedas Yitzchak, and he didn't shach the son. But we give him credit as if he did all three. Why? What's so precious to the Ribono Shel Olam? The effort, the hishtadlus, because that's all we can control. The outcome we cannot control. The effort is the only thing. Our actions is the only thing we can control. I wrote in my notes, the effort is all we can give to Hashem. The outcome is not up to us. It's up to Him. And with that, I am going to my screen share, and let's now go to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So 1 second, please. I have it prepared here. Let me just find where I want to be. Okay, could you see we went into Sefaria? Yeah? Okay, thank you so much. So it's right at the end of Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis. You see Asti right now? I could only see you up there, yeah? Okay. So the Mishnah tells Rabbi Tarfon Omer, okay, also an important Mishnah. We should talk about this at a different time as well. Hayom Katsar, Vaham Chamiruba, is out of her true. The day is short, the work is much. Vahapolim Atzelim, the workers are lazy. This is not the Mishnah where I'm going. Happens to be the Mishnah right before, also in the name of Rabbi Tarfon. Vaschar harbei, there is so much reward. A Baal Bais Dochik, the Baal Bais, the Ribono Shel Olam is pushing you. You gotta better get the job done. The very next Mishnah, where at the end of Perek Beis, is also in the name of Rabbi Tarfon. Hu Haya Omer, he used to say, and this is the part of the Mishnah that I'm tying into the teaching of Rabbi Pesach Kohen. I thought it was just so insightful. Teaches us so strongly, you can't control the outcome. We would like to control the outcome. We would like to control the outcome. The outcome's up to Hashem. All I could do is my effort. Hu haya omer, Rabbi Tarfon used to say, lo alecha hamlecha ligmar, velo ata ben chorin li batel mimena. The work is not upon you to complete. And I think that that's this very idea that Rabbi Kron brings out in regard to Avraham Avinu. Whether the job gets completed or not, that is not in your hands. Whether the malachim eat or don't eat, you can't do anything about it. You can be osek and echnas zarchem and prepare the food. Whether Saddam and Amar are saved or they are destroyed, and the whole Arei HaKikar, that's not up to you. It's up to Hashem. Whether Yitzchak is shechted or not shechted is not up to you. It's up to the Ribono Shel Olam. But why do you then get credit for these three amazing things that we remember Avraham Avinu for if they really were not brought to completion? I think the answer is in this Mishnah. Lo alacham lachaligmar. A Jew has to know when they set out to do Avodas Hashem, and it relates to so many things in life. Let's say you put your all into studying for a test. You really study, not you slacked off. You listened in class and you took the notes and you reviewed and you really studied. You put in your effort and then you end up with a 70. That, I'm not saying, but if you slacked off and you didn't study. Okay, you know you put in your effort. You put in your hishtadlus, so it's not in your control. Shidduchim are not in our control beyond our hishtadlus. Parnassah is not in our control beyond our hishtadlus. Now, if a person doesn't do hishtadlus, so then good luck to you. But if you do your hishtadlus, the end result we cannot control. Lo alecha hamlecha ligmar. That's the key. The malacha is upon you. Ligmar, that's up to Ribono Shel Olam. The work is not upon you to finish or to complete. However, velo ata ben chorin li batel mimena, at the same time that you cannot guarantee the outcome, just like Avraham Avinu cannot guarantee the outcome, but we give him credit for these three things. Look at the power of hishtadlus. Look what the Ribono Shel Olam wants from us, to invest your effort in getting the job done. So lo alecham lechaligmar, the completion of the job is up to the Ribono Shel Olam. On the other hand, velo ata ben chorin li batel mimena, on the other hand, you are not a free person to be absolved from your effort. So we have to have two things that coexist. One, I have to put a maximum mishtadlus, though ata ben chorin lebatamen. I cannot be mevato my work. I cannot say, well, I'm not going to try. I cannot say I'm not going to do anything because it's not up to me. That's not what Hashem wants. You have to do everything you can. But after that, you also have to know, lo alacham lechadigmar. It's up to the Ribono Shel Olam. And Avraham Avinu, I thought it was just really, it's the first year where I'm sharing it. I read it by Tisha. I just thought it was so impactful and meaningful. Because so often we work at something and the effort might not be the end result that we want. But if you put in your hishtadlus, really, right? You didn't slack off. You weren't asleep in the chemistry class. You weren't not taking notes. You didn't cut class. Then you got a 65, so you're upset. So you didn't put in effort, so you're not going to succeed. But if you put in your effort and it doesn't work out the way you want, so that's Ratzon Hashem. And Avram gets schar. And I thought it was a brilliant, brilliant chiddush. Let's just look on this side of the screen. Could you see Rabbeinu Yonah over here? So Rabbeinu Yonah's commentary to this teaching of Rabbi Tarfon, lo alecha hamlecha ligmar, the work is not upon you to finish. So Rabbeinu Yonah says over here on the screen, shelo ta'ale al da'atcha, it shouldn't enter your mind, you shouldn't say to yourself, eineni rachav leiv, lo ucha ligmara, I am not of a wide heart, I am not of unlimited capability, so I can't finish the job anyway. You should not say, since I am not of limitless capabilities, I cannot finish the work. Uma yisron ba'amel, so what's the point of even trying. Amel, Amelus, what's the point of toiling since I'm not of broad heart? I'm not of unbelievable limited capacities. What's the point of even trying? I can't finish the work. Uma, oh, il bigi asi. What is the purpose of my sweat of my brow? What's the purpose of even trying since I can't finish it? Shalo alacha legemara. It's not upon you, says Rabbeinu Yonah, quoting Rabbi Tarfon, to finish it. Ella, achar shebetora ata amel, kiyamta mitzvah barecha. As long as you are being amel in Torah, even if you can't complete the job, you are upholding the mitzvah, the command of Hashem. So you should not think, Rabbeinu Yonah says, it should not enter your mind. I'm not of broad heart and unlimited capabilities. I can't finish it anyway. So what's the point of my amelus? What is going to be accomplished from the sweat of my brow? You should not say that. Even though you can't finish it, as long as you are being osek an amel, toiling in a life of Torah, then you have fulfilled the ratzon, the mitzvah of Hashem, and you are doing what God wants of you. Furthermore, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Velo ata ben chori li batel mimina." You are not a free person to be mevata. I'm not translating it properly. So Faria says, neither are you at liberty to neglect it. I guess it's a better translation than mine. I wasn't really translating it. I was saying you're not a free man to be mevata. Okay, so according to Sefriya, neither are you at liberty to neglect your duty. Okay, shalom tomar, you should not say, ho, yeah, since for any chayiv the gemara samalach. On the other hand, you might say, listen, I'm not chayiv to finish the work. Avram was a chayiv to get the guests to eat. Avram was a chayiv to say suvdom and amor. You only had to try. Avram was a chayiv to actually shech the sun. He had to go through the actions. Since I can't finish the work anyway, lo etzar, that's me. I won't hold myself back. Ela elmod b'chol yom sha'achas. I'm only going to learn 1 hour a day because I can't finish the job. Eini chayiv l'gmar samalacha. I cannot finish the work. Lo atzart atzmi ala alma b'chayim sha'achas. 1 hour is enough. Lo kein hadavar. Not so. Ki eved kanui ata. You are an acquired servant. Alela hagos bo yaman v'layda. So you see there, Rabbeinu Yonah understands this Mishnah as referring to toil in Torah. The first interpretation we looked at and this one complement each other. It's toil in Torah. Remember, first interpretation, once you are being osik in Torah, you're being amel in Torah, even if you can't complete the work, you are fulfilling the ratzon of your creator. And here, maybe a person will think, I'm only going to learn 1 hour a day because I can't finish it anyway. It's true, you can. You could sit and learn Torah your whole life and you still will never finish learning Kol Torah Kulo, Shivim Panim the Torah, with all aspects and facets and interpretations. It's not possible for a human being. It's unbelievable when you think of what that means. So you're going to say, so I'll only learn 1 hour a day? I can't finish anyway. So what's 1 hour I'll set aside? That's not enough. Lo kein hadavar ki eved kanui ata alei lahagos bo yamam v'layda. You have to contemplate Torah day and night. And then your way will be successful and then you will be made into a discerning person. So we have to apply this to other realms of our lives as well, that even though we cannot complete a task, like we learned from Avraham Avinu, it doesn't mean you're absolved. He still, Ve'ala Bakar Ratz Avram, he still ran to the Bakar to prepare the Chardal, the Lashonus B'Chardal, even though they weren't going to eat. It was his obligation to do what he could. There was a... There's a story told over in the Rav Nassim Tzvi biography, Zecher Tzadik V'Kol Shevrachatz Chaim. It was just his 10th Yahrzeit. It was just Rav Nassim Tzvi's 10th Yahrzeit this past Sunday. Oh, I mentioned it in last week's Pirkei Avos here. Yeah, we told the story, remember? Rav Nassim Tzvi and Rechali Meidu. Okay? So, there's a story told over in the Rav Nassim Tzvi biography. He was, for the last 25 years of his life, very, very sickly afflicted with Parkinson's. He didn't want to take the medication because it affects one's mind. Didn't want his mind to be affected for Torah learning. And once a visiting Rav came to see him, and Rav Nassim Tzvi was trying to open the seltzer, and the Rav was so visibly distressed that he could not open the bottle of seltzer. Rav Nassim Tzvi, the Rosh Hashiva. So the guest said to the Rosh Hashiva, please, Rosh Hashiva, I don't want seltzer. Please don't pour me seltzer. It's in the Rav Nassim Tzvi biography. So the Rosh Hashiva said, I have an obligation to pour my guest a drink. If you don't want to drink it, that's up to you. And he struggled. He was able to open the seltzer and pour for his guest. So I have an obligation to do what I have to do. If the task won't be completed the way I want, So that's up to God. And when we think of this applicability so much in our lives, in terms of chinuch habanim, in terms of shidduchim, in terms of parnasa, in terms of success in a certain area of limud, you might not finish the task the way you want it, but as long as you put in your effort, we learn from Avram, it's so brilliant that guests didn't eat. Why does he get credit for making the food? Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. Why does he get credit for his tefillos? Yitzchak wasn't shechted. Why are the ashes of the idol before Hashem as if it's the ram of Yitzchak? Because Avram was nizdaris lemitzvah, he had alacrity to fulfill ratzon Hashem. Nizdaris v'yashkem Avram b'boker, v'yomer Avram v'yomer hineni. Whatever you want, I'm here, even if I can't complete the task. And none of us ultimately could complete everything in one lifetime. One lifetime is very fast and very short. Like we saw in Rabbeinu Yonah, you might think, I can't learn the whole Torah anyway, so why should I bother trying? What's the point of the Yigia? What's the point of the Amedas? I can't finish it anyway. So I can't learn every Mefarsh on Parshas HaShavua. It's not possible. Like I'm talking about me personally. I literally cannot. It's not possible. Maybe some of you are the same. You can't go through the whole Parsha, I don't know, and learn every single Peirush. We have other things to do, especially as B'nai Yisrael. There's a lot to do. So does it mean I shouldn't learn Chumash with Rashi? If I could do Chumash with Rashi, oh, I can learn every Ramban, and every Rabbeinu B'chaya, and every Orach Chaim, and every Balaturim, and every Targum Yonos and Ben Uziel, which is very Midrashic and very, very beautiful, and every Rashbam, and every Svarna, and every Daskei B'Balatos, so I'm not going to learn it all. So I won't learn. I can't go to every Shir, so I'm not going to attend the Shir at all. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah saying. And it applies to so many aspects of our life in terms of Avraham Avinu. And even though he was tested repeatedly, and I'm going to the Mishnah that we spoke about last week, Perakei Avos, the beginning of Perakei, Mishnah Gimel, Basar Nisyonis, Nisasa, Avraham Avinu, Lavasham, Ba'amad Bakulam. He was tested with 10 tests, and he withstood them all. He stood through them all. L'odia kamachibaso shal Avraham Avinu, Lavasham, to let you know his beloved is Avraham Avinu before Hashem, and how beloved Hashem is to Avraham Avinu. So why? Because he was willing to persevere and do whatever he could to pass, and the ultimate end result was up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I want to share with you something that I mentioned once a while ago, related to the topic of tonight's shir. We're speaking about doing our hishtadlus, and one of the ways that we are osik in hishtadlus is with koch of tefillah. And sometimes we think that tefillah might not be hishtadlus. You know, other things are hishtadlus. Applying to a certain school for our children, or seminary for, you know, an Eretz Yisrael, that's hishtadlus. Looking into a certain shidduch, that's hishtadlus. Applying for a job, that's hishtadlus. And sometimes we don't contemplate or consider that tefillah is a form of hishtadlus as well. Ba'asar nisyonos nisnasa avram avinu alav hashem ve'amad bekulam. He passed all of his tests, and he withstood through them. And they were not easy tests. And I'm going to propose, based on an insight from Rabbi Zev Lef, what was his hishtadlus, besides for the concrete things that he did, like serving the food, like taking his son, splitting wood, binding him on the altar, davening for Sodom and Gomorrah? It's tefillah that got him through. Because Rabbi Zev Lef said, if you remember, I mentioned it a while ago, it's so brilliant. The Amad Bekulam. The Gemara tells us, based on this week's parsha, Perek Yutes, Pasuk of Zayin, when Avram went to Davin, the morning after Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. Perek Yutes, Pasuk of Zayin. So the Pasuk says, Bereishis 19:27, Ayashkim Avram Beboker, Avram woke up early in the morning, Elamakom Asher Amad Sham Es Pnei Hashem, to the place where he stood before Hashem, and then Vayashkif Al Pnei Sodom and Gomorrah, Vine Allah Ashna Ka Ashan Kivshan, he looks out over Sodom and Gomorrah, it's destroyed. So the Gemara says, in Masachas Brachos, Chaf Vav Amad Beis, from that pasuk, you learn that Avraham Avinu was masakin tefillah shachris. You learn from 24:63 that Yitzchak was masakin mincha. Vayitzi Yitzchak l'suach sadat lifnos erev. Yisa aina vayar v'hinei hagmalim bayim. There's Rivka. She's falling on the camel. She's covering her face. He's davening mincha. How do you know? Says the Gemara, because vayitzi Yitzchak l'suach lamed sin vav ches. Ein sicha ala lashon tefillah. According to the pasuk from Tehillim, Tefila la'ani kiyatov lifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. So siach is tefila. So in Parshas Chayisar, Yitzchak was misakin mincha. Where do we learn that Yaakov was misakin tefilas arvis? Perachov ches pasuk yud. Vayetze Yaakov mebe'er sheva. Vayele charana. Perachov ches pasuk yud alf. Vayifka b'malkom vayalen sham kibah ha'shemesh. Vayikach ma'avnei ha'malkom vayasem marash osav. Vayifka b'malkom vayalen sham, says the Gemara. Ein pegi'ah Ella Lashon Tefillah. So you learn that Yitzchak was Misakin Mincha. You learn that Yaakov was Misakin Tefillah Arvis, which leads to Avram, who was Misakin Tefillah Shachris. Now you might think, based on Bereishis 19:27, the pasuk I quoted, that we learn that Avram Daven Shachris because it says Vayashkin Baboker. When else do you Daven Shachris? When you wake up early in the morning. But that's actually not what the Gemara says. Vayashkim Avram Baboker, this is Maseches Brachos 26b, Chof of Amad Beis. Vayashkim Avram Baboker, so I would think, oh, he daven Shachris. When do you daven Shachris? When you wake up early in the morning. That's not what the Gemara says. Vayashkim Avram Baboker, El Hamakom, to the place, Asher Amad Sham of Neisha. So the Gemara says, how do you know that he was Mesach and Tefillah Shachris from this Pasuk in our Parsha, Parsha's Vayera? Because it says Amad. The Ein Amida Ela Lashon Tefillah. Vayamod Pinchas vayipalel. Oh, Amida, to stand, Ayin Mem David, that is Tefillah. In fact, when Chazal referred to Amida, Tefillah, they're referring to what we call the Shemona Esrei. You stand when you say the Shemona Esrei. So in Lashon Chazal, Tefillah is Amida. So once again, the Pasuk in our Parsha says that Avram woke up early in the morning and he went back to the place Asher Amad Sham, where he stood before God. So the Gemara says in Brachos Chavav Beis, we learn from this Pasuk, Bereishis 19:27, that Avram was Mesachin Shachris. How do I know he was Mesachin Shachris, not because Vayashkim Avram Baboker, which I might think he woke up early in the morning, not because Asher Amaj Vayashkim Avram Baboker, Elam Makom, because it says Makom and Makom is Hashem, Asher Amad, he stood. Ein Amida Ela Lashon Tefillah. So Amida is synonymous with prayer. So Rabbi Zevlev said, going back to the Mishnah in the beginning of Perek Hey, listen carefully. Basar nisyonus nisnaso Avram Avinu, the Amad Bekulam. What's Amida? What word could he substitute? Tefillah. Ein Amida ela lashon Tefillah. So that means in Perek Hey, Mishnah Gimel, because I'm actually teaching you a very unique chiddush. I don't remember if Rabbi Zevlev quoted someone or who is or not. How did Avraham Avinu get through his 10 tests? By davening through them. In 10 tests, Avraham Avinu, our forefather, was tested. Ve'amad bikulam. Doesn't mean he stood through them physically. It doesn't mean he passed them, which it does mean, according to the Peshat, of course. It means he prayed through them. And the koach of tefillah is what got him through. And that too is hishtadlus. Sometimes we think that tefillah is not concrete hishtadlus, but it's not true. Because with all the other physical, practical hishtadlus that we do, there is also the koach of hishtadlus b'tefillah. So, lo ata ben chorin li batal mimena means, even though you can't finish the work, you got to daven through it. What's the outcome going to be? I don't know what the outcome is going to be. Hashem knows what the outcome is going to be. You daven for your daughter to get into a certain seminary, your granddaughter to get into a certain seminary. She doesn't get into that seminary. You davened, you put in your status, you applied, you got references, you sent the application fee, and you davened. It doesn't work. That's a Ratzon Hashem. But you get the schar for the asiya because of all your efforts, including tefillah. I'm going back to Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, Zechusa Yagen Aleinu. So it also tells over in the biography, one time a woman came to him and she was undergoing very, very difficult nisyonos, and Rav Nosson Zvi was particularly feeling very unwell, and he was laying on the couch and he really couldn't even talk to her, do anything for her. And he told her, you come in and sit over there. You sit there and say to him, I will lay here and cry with you. He prayed through them all. And sometimes we face, many times we face individual and national nisyonos, and sometimes you've maxed out your hishtadlus and you don't know what else you could do. So the Mishnah is telling you what else you could do. Rabbi Tarfon is telling you what else you could do. Avram Avinu is telling you what else you could do. But it seems like all hope is lost, although Avda Tikvatenu, Yesh Chalibulatech, Yesh Tikvalach Ritech, for your sake, it's also your Alav Cheshvan. And ultimately, sometimes like Rachel Imenu, all you could do is cry. But that too is Hishtalus, and that's what got Avram Avinu through his Nisyonos. And I think it's just a tremendous pshat of Rabbi Zevlev. I'm going back to screen sharing. Oh, I have to put you down over here now. One second. Okay. Oh, I have to go to chapter 18. Kedushim and Bereishis Perek Yudches. Okay. In Bereishis Perek Yudches, first the Malachim come. We've touched upon that already, that Avram received tzchar as if he was the best machnis oreach, even though they really did anything. Okay. After the Malachim leave, they're going to Sodom. Let's look at the Pesukim. Vayikumu misham anashim v'yishkifu al pnei Sodom. The Malachim leave. They go to the face. They're going to see Sodom. And Avram walks with them to be malava them. And Hashem Amar, Hashem said, Hamechas ani me'avram asher ani osa? Am I going to hide what I'm going to do from Avram? In other words, we're about to destroy Sodom and Amorah. Rashi says Avram was the Av Hamon Goyim, the father of many nations. How could Hashem destroy the children and not tell the father? If Avram is the father of a multitude of nations, Hashem has to inform Avram. And then Hashem says, he asks a question of himself, Kaviyachal, will I hide from Avram what I'm about to do? And then Hashem answers, Va'Avram hayo yeh l'goy gadol va'atzum. And Avram will be a very great nation, very strong. V'nivrchu bo kol goyei ha'aretz. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. Ki yedativ, because I know, says Hashem, l'man asher yitzava esbana ves beso acharav v'shamu derech Hashem. I know that he will command his children and his household after him. They will guard the way of Hashem to do righteousness and justice. L'man havi Hashem ha'avram ha'is asher diberlev. So that Hashem could bring upon Avram what he promised. And Hashem said, the outcry of Sodom and Amor is so great, their sin it is so heavy, I'm going to go see what's going on down there. And Avram begins to daven. Avram begins to daven. So this is a very interesting passage. What is going on over here? Hashem said, will I hide from Avram what I'm about to do? That's his question. And Hashem's answer is, Avram will be a very great nation, a very strong nation, and I know he will command his children and his household after him. They will guard the way of Hashem. What does that have to do with destroying Sodom and Amor? What kind of answer is that? Am I going to hide from Avram what I'm about to do? Avram's going to be a great nation and he'll command his children after him. What does one have to do with the other? The question and the answer don't seem to be connected. Am I going to hide from Avram what I'm about to do? Yes or no? You're either going to hide it or you're not going to hide it. But how is the Avram hayo yeh l'goy gadol va'atzum? Avram will be a great nation and very strong. All the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. What does it have to do with him? Am I going to hide from Avram what I'm about to do? So we're going to go to an unbelievable mashal by the Dubna Magid, which I just have to find. Could you see it at Hamagin Midubno? Yes? Okay. Vashem Omar, Hamechasani Me'avam Asherani Ose, Va'avim Hayyel Goy Goda. The Dubna Magid here quotes the Pasuk. Hashem said, am I going to hide from Avram what I'm about to do? The answer is, I'm not going to. That's implied. Because Avram's going to be a very great nation. Who cares? What does that have to do? I mean, it's very nice, but why is that the answer to I can't hide from Avram what I'm about to do? Mashal, the Dubna Magid always gives a mashal. Mashal l'shnei sochim shayu nosim baderech al odos mascharam. I'm going to give you a mashal, says the Dubna Magid, to two merchants who are traveling on the way for their job, al odos mascharam. They're going about to procure business. Echad hayatza ir v'rach b'shanim. One of the merchants was very young, and young in years, soft in years. Hasheni seva zreika bo b'yamim. The second one was an old man coming on in years. Two merchants, one is very young and tender in years, and the other one is old coming on in years. And they're both traveling for business. Vayehi b'vo'am l'ir g'dola. It happened to be that they came to a great city. Ra'ui chaniyos mochros begadim l'rov. They came to a clothing store. They saw these stores that are selling a lot of clothing. Amar hazakin, the zakin said, ma me'od kalsa nafshi l'kos l'knos l'vni ben zakunim eza begen na'o mishabach. The old man said, wow, my soul so longs and desires to buy from my ben zakunim a beautiful garment. He had a child in his old age. He wants to buy this child that we had in his old age a beautiful garment. Na'al mishubach, pleasant and praiseworthy. Aval yureisi pen lo yizdamin kimiduso. But I am worried. Maybe I'm going to get home and I'm going to buy this garment and it's not going to fit him. And there's no return policy and I'm not coming back to this town for another year. And it's in the olden days and you can't ship things back by, they don't come to you by Amazon Prime and go back by UPS. And how am I going to send it back to the store? I'm afraid maybe it won't be the right size. How should I know? Omer Hasheni, the second guy says, the young merchant, Ani ekach shtayim v'shalosh me'ah. I'm going to take two garments, three garments, four garments. I'm going to buy at the shop. Amar lo azakin, the zakin said, Ma tasem lo yim muksharim levanecha, from the word kosher. What are you going to do if they're not appropriate, if they're not fitting your children? You're taking so many garments home. What are you going to do? Amar lo, the young man said to the old man, listen, atal asher einecha ki im haben zukunim. You have one son born to you in your old age. You are correct. You're afraid to buy the purchase. Because you're right, Taka. You have one son born to you in your old age, and you're hesitant to buy this garment. If it doesn't fit your child when you get home, what are you going to do with it? You're going to be stuck with it. You just lost your money. You work so hard as a socher. And if you buy, you know, for your son and it doesn't fit, what are you going to do? Said the young man, Lo kein ani, not me. Ki chanani Elokim b'kam yeladim. God has been gracious to me. I have a large family. Tsa'ir, a young family. V'rav, v'gam tsa'ir anochi liyamim. I have a young, large family. I'm still young in my years. Im lo yachshar la'alef, l'achad yachshar l'sheni. If the pants don't fit one son, they'll fit another son. I don't have to worry. O l'habanim asher yolodu, or to the children that I have in the future. So I don't have to worry about taking these garments home. You have to worry. You don't want to be stuck with the garment. You don't want to lose your money. I have so many children, and I'm still young in years. I'm going to have more children. If it doesn't fit one, it's going to fit the other. V'hanimshal. What's the nimshal? Ki kol asher pal yisparach es avinu Avram alav ha-shalom shamar l'doros habay me'acharav. Everything that Hashem worked, did with Avram avinu alav ha-shalom was guarded, was treasured, was sent, was hidden away for the generations that would follow. Al came and therefore when the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to pour destruction upon Sodom, Omer, he said, should I hide from Avram what I'm about to do? The Haratzon Legalos al Ozne Avram, he wanted to reveal to the ears of Avram. He wants to tell Avram, listen what I'm about to do. What's the point of telling Avram what I'm about to do? If the Gezerah is anyways that Sodom and Gomorrah have to be destroyed, which it was, and why tell Avram? Just destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Avur yitpalel aleihem. You know why I'm going to tell Avram? So he should daven. Davka. Hashem, of course, is the Hayahuvah V'yeh. He knows Sodom's going to be destroyed. He knows Gomorrah is going to be destroyed. He knows the Kikar Yarden are going to be destroyed. So why is he even telling Avram? What do you mean, I'm mechasa ni Avram Asher Neo? Say, yeah, be mechasa. Avram will wake up in the morning. What are you putting through the tirchav davening? He's not even going to save the place. Avur yitpalel aleihem. I want him to daven for those people. But Hashem knew there was no place for room for tefillah for these wicked people. They're going to be destroyed. That's the gezerah. Nevertheless, Avram's tefillahs were not for naught. They were not wasted. They were not empty. Velo shava reikam, they were not returned empty-handed. Ki aresas fasav lo mana Hashem, the pleasantness, the offering of your lips, Hashem does not hold back. Upu alaso to omeid ledoros, Avram's work stands for generations. Vezesh asayim veomer, and that's why Hashem's answer to his own question was, v'Avram hayu yelegoi gadol atzum. Avram will be a great nation, klomer. That's what Dubna Magad saying, if you didn't understand it. I don't mean that in a bad way, I'm seriously saying, what's a Dubna Magad saying? Avram's like the merchant who's young and has many children. His family's just starting. Should I hide from Avram what I'm going to do? No, why? Because I want Avram to daven. That's the whole purpose. I want him to pray. Why do I want him to pray if they're going to be destroyed anyways? Okay, the tefillos of Avram won't go for Sodom and Gomorrah. Avram hoye legoi gadol atzum. He's going to have banav. He's going to have beso achrov. They're going to need his tfilos. It's not for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were destroyed. If the pants don't fit one, they're going to fit the next one. And if they don't fit these ones, I'm still going to have more children. They're going to fit the next generation. And there, because I have so many children, will pass it down to their children, to their children. The pants will be a family heirloom. Maybe Avram's tefillos won't fit this situation. What's the answer? The hishtadus, the kishkas, the tears. Elamakom asher amad sham es pnei Hashem. Will filter all the way down to us. Maybe Sodom and Amor didn't need those tfilos, but we, banav as beso acharav, certainly need his tfilos. Avram's not like the old merchant who has one child and his ben zakudim. If the pants don't fit, they don't fit. It's a waste of money. Basar nisyonis nisasu Avram avido avasham ve'amad bekulam. Says Rabbi Zev left based on the Gemara to Maseches Brachos, which is based on the pasuk in our parasha Bereishis 19:27. Ein amida ela lashon tefila. You know, Avram got through his nisyonos. He davened through each and every one of them. Says Rav Nachman Zvi Finkel to this Erlecha Yedina, there's nothing I can do for you. You sit and say Tehillim. I will lay here and cry. And that too is Hishtadlus. Lo ata ben chorin li batel mimena. And I guarantee the outcome. Maybe my guest wants the seltzer. Maybe they don't want the seltzer. Maybe they're angels. Maybe they're people. Maybe they like tongue and mustard sauce. Maybe they don't. But I have to do my effort. Maybe my son will be shechted said Avram. Maybe he won't. That's up to God. I have to do what I have to do. And the third example that he's given credit for is his tefillos for Sodom and Gomorrah, because that too is his shtadlus. Do we know their bones from cheshbonos? Could I guarantee the work's finished? The shidduch goes exactly as you want. The seminary accepts exactly as you want. The high school has enough openings. The parnasa job is accepted. The meal came out exactly as you planned. The chal tastes perfectly as you planned. Sometimes it doesn't work out. If you put in your hishtadlus, your full effort, including the effort of tefillah, we're combining two mishnayos tonight. It'll be Tarfon, the end of Perek Beis, and the tantes of Avraham Avinu, specifically focusing on the amad bekula. Ein amida el shon tefillah, he prayed through them. There's one degree of hishtadlus we can always all do. That's picking up the siddur and crying. Al comes up to me. But if these tefillos don't go for Sodom and Amora, they'll go for us in Tafshim Pei Beis. Because Avram's not the old merchant who has one son. He's the young merchant. And if the pants don't fit this one, they'll fit that one. Al kein gam ata, ain't to else but tefillah. So, to il the doros habayim. And so even if right now there's no to'elus, there's no purpose, nothing will be accomplished by his tefillos for Sodom and Amorah, I still want him to daven. No, I won't hide it. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is misava tefillosim shel tzadikim. Why? Ki Avram hayo yia legoy gado ve'atzum. Ki yedati v'lman asher yitzava es beso v'espano acharav. I know Sodom and Amorah are going to be destroyed. But if the pants don't fit this one, they're going to fit that one. And if the tefillah of Avram and his heart and his prayers and his sweat of his brow is not for this time, ain't to alis but tefillah, so for ato with an ayin, that's okay. To'il l'doros haba'im v'hevin adkan. They will be purposeful for the coming generations. And understand this well, says the Dumna Magid. So we began by understanding now for the three things in this week's parsha that Avram's famous for, they actually didn't come to completion. Says Rav Huttner, don't be afraid, don't be angry, don't be tired, and don't be obsessed with winning, because you can't control the end result. And Pesach Kron adds in the name of his friend, Avram did his maximum mishtadlus, but they weren't actually brought to fruition. We then went to the Mishnah, where Rabbi Tarfon tells us, you can't finish the work, but you're obligated to try. We saw Rabbeinu Yoma's commentary. We then went to the understanding that tefillah is a very major form of hishtadlus, based on this week's parasha, where Avram's Masak and Shachris, which helps us understand that Amad Bekula means he prayed through all of his nisyonos. Then we went to the Mashal from the Dubin Magad. I heard it many years ago told outside Rabbi Shai Shachter. Many years ago, I reached out to him and he actually sent me the text. And when I saw it inside, it's just so, so powerful. That Hashem was saying, of course I'm going to tell Avram, of course I'm not going to hide it. Because if the tefillah is not for this generation, the tefillah will be Be'ezras Hashem for another generation. So may the neshamas of Moshe ben Achuv Yecheskel Levi Alav Hashem, Yortzeit 17 Cheshvan, and Yehudas Bas David, Yortzeit 21 Cheshvan, merit Aliyos and the Schus of the Torah that we share this evening. I just thought it was interesting, by the way, because Miriam Nussbaum said about her father, he showed up not only as committed, but he arrived early. And Ruthie Berkowitz spoke about her mother, who was always saying Tehillim until her final journey to the hospital. Korach HaTfila and both, Neshama Shereb Elios, should be Refuah Shleimer for Chadva Rivka Bas Edna. And every Tefillah we utter is used in some way. The Divna Maga said it's not returned empty. Might not be in this generation, but it'll be used and applied when needed. So I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. I thank our evening sponsors and our future sponsors, Be'ezras Hashem, and I look forward to joining you next week again. Thank you so much. Kol tov, everybody. Besoros tovos. And good Shabbos.